Chapter 24, Tracing Steps.
Inquisitor, the Imperial Guard is forever short of battle psykers, but one that is redeemed is a rare asset. Psykana Prime never disappoints.
The fact that he's one of the unmarked doesn't concern you.
His past is most fitting for the future that awaits, and a degree of unpredictability will only add to the danger he poses to the enemies of mankind.
Warmaster, he harbors a deep hostility for the Commissariat.
Among the Crusades, savants and commissars have never gotten along. As is so often the case within the Imperium, their realities run counter to each other.
A most diplomatic way of putting it.
I haven't forgotten the Inquisition's role in aligning our paths.
A final concern regarding a channeling upgrade for the Aspirant's power glaive. I've been led to believe that a force weapon is the tool of a fully fledged Primaris. Can he handle it?
Inquisitor, we are most eager to find out. Do not delay his stay at Psykana beyond the agreed date.
I waited in the grand foyer of the Overhive, trying to summon the first words I would say to my benefactor and his family. I felt ashamed. I'd lived within their tower in a wholly unfit manner, an imposter posing in an unfit mind. I realized that I couldn't change the world or the universe I lived in. I could only change my mind and, in doing so, change my reality for the better.
I was told you would come.
Another doorkeeper, Tora Kilhaven, greeted me among her botanical creations. The slap she applied to my face had its purpose and meant more to me than a hug or a handshake.
That is for Sam. She would never do it herself.
No, she wouldn't. I gazed back at the woman's fiery stare. I'm sorry. Like Helix, Tora had eyes of amber to distract from the perceptive mind behind them. The matron of House Kilhaven would never have touched an interloper. She had bodyguards and attendants for that.
My husband is waiting for you in his study.
I nodded and let her lead the way. The door to the library closed behind us. Seemingly hard at work, Dean Sindar Kilhaven remained perched behind his corner desk. He pointed to the central table.
Parik, please. Tora, would you please stay as well as witness?
I got the feeling that was a rare request on Lord Kilhaven's part. The dividing line between Noble House Kilhaven and his inquisitorial duties was profound and highly respected.
4 weeks ago, after a great deal of haggling, an agreement was struck, granting me stewardship of Parik Silver. Lacking a sound mind and body, Parik was not part of the original negotiations. Now, given a modicum of health and sanity, Parik will be given a chance to accept or reject the framework as it stands. Tora Kilhaven will witness the agreement and advocate for the young man in question. The result of this hearing will be entered into law by the Inquisition and seconded by the Astra Telepathica. Is that understood?
Yes, I said.
What is your name?
Parik Silver.
Good. Names are important. Now Exhibit A.
Tora and I shared the tabletop video screen. An enhanced video showed a young man in a coat eerily similar to the one I now wore. He was being used for target practice in a dark, secluded alleyway. Las pistols and slugs peppered his body armor until it failed, and he dropped, but not once did he turn away from his assailants. The obscene nature of the high-res Sub-Zero video assaulted the pristine and utterly lawful world of the Noble House Kilhaven. Tora looked between me, the screen, and her husband. One slap wasn't enough to express her angst. Lord Kilhaven intercepted her train of thought.
My investigators returned with a trove of information. You didn't survive that execution, did you?
Not at first, I said. No.
Who was responsible for the event?
I stuttered. Silgo was present. Nobody in their right mind would have done what I did.
And how did the Grave Dancer come into play?
Lady Hahn had ascended from Warp Witch to Demon Host. It took note of a threat and sought to destroy it. As a Warp Witch, the entity known as Lady Hahn was a target of both Hereticus and Malleus. As a Demon Host, it had cleared the bar, playing solely in the realm of Ordo Malleus.
Did it succeed?
Yes.
How did you survive?
There are gaps. I couldn't look up. Lord Kilhaven laughed out loud at that remark. He'd chosen his evidence carefully and knew a gross understatement when he heard it. Lady Kilhaven's glare put her husband back on track. He continued,
Ordo Hereticus has been after Lady Hahn for decades. How did it manage to hide in the underhive of your city?
It created acolytes capable of shielding itself from the censors of the Inquisition. We called them wardens or greys for the color of the curse they wielded. They projected a null bubble around the Warp Witch, dampening its dark energy signature. I used their null field to destroy Silgo's presence.
But not its mark.
No, that took the power of a banisher.
What is your name?
Peric Silver.
Good. Names are important. Exhibit B.
A crowded scene appeared. A party and a brawl on the service platform known as the Satellite. A young woman backed toward the unguarded edge. An uncontrollable terror leaked from her eyes as if a phantom stalked her in the crowd. The camera panned a full 360, finding nothing. No one saw what she saw or paid attention until I stood and raced toward her. Rasa's heel had found the edge and traced steps in thin air. The exchange was a blur. She was hurled forward into the waiting arms of a Sanctionite, while I disappeared beyond the lip. Kilhaven turned to his wife.
Tora, what would you call that?
Pure insanity.
On whose part?
Yours, the girl's, and whoever put her in that position.
It was the Sanctionite Mateen, wasn't it? He'd attacked Rasa there, on that service platform. That was the scene of the crime. Lord Kilhaven responded,
Tora, who was the more insane, Mateen or Peric?
Tora redirected the question to me.
Did you know that there would be a cadre of telekines waiting below?
No. Tora slammed her hand on the table and stared at her husband.
How does one make sense of any of this?
Hold that thought. What is your name?
Peric Silver.
Good. Names are important. Now exhibit C.
A more recent scene appeared with a wild-eyed version of myself throwing two beautiful women off the same service platform above Scola Sicana. I soon followed as a fireball exploded behind me.
You trusted your clan to catch you.
Dean Kilhaven seemed to think I was mad to do such a thing. To catch all of us, I replied, after I'd caught the entity that had enslaved the witch.
What was the witch's name?
June Alicante. Lady Kilhaven gasped. She knew the woman but hadn't been told of the Proctor's role or demise. The Inquisitor continued,
And the warp creature, did it have a name?
You don't know? Hereticus had to have provided a complete report.
Peric, why do you hesitate?
I glanced at Tara before returning Dean Kilhaven's trust. Its name was Gorsimun. It was the same entity that marked your son Jovan. Hereticus had spared him that detail after all. Sindar Kilhaven's eyes hardened as he pushed on through.
How did it compare to Silgo the Grave Dancer?
They'd both seen the videos of each, but that didn't tell the whole story. I clued them in. Gorsimun was utterly promiscuous, and for that was the more dangerous of the two. Silgo was meant to destroy a single soul, while Gorsimun could have eventually taken dozens, if not hundreds. It hid its presence perfectly within the walls of Sicana and the psyche of June Alicante. It had pierced her broken heart, and she suffered horribly for it, as did many. Lord Kilhaven gave me the missing clue.
I'm sure that Proctor Alicante suffered greatly at the loss of Jovan Kilhaven. They had planned to be wed upon his return from our final mission.
I couldn't imagine what the parents of the intended groom thought about that, but offered another clue in return. Under the entity's sway, June Alicante longed for your son without end. Her utter bereavement may have been what drew the warp creature to her through the veil. It may have been what sent her over the edge. I didn't mention that she blamed Sindar for her loss, or that she struggled to repair it with another Kilhaven.
We hadn't considered that. Where do you think June Alicante is now?
I spoke with utmost certainty, with Jovan Kilhaven.
And where are they?
I don't know. It was Lord Kilhaven's turn. He slammed his hand on the desk.
Yes, you do. You've knocked on Morgana's door. You know the fate of the marked.
It wasn't fair. I was sitting right across from Lady Kilhaven. I could make out the curve of her golden eyes and smell the morning coffee on her breath. If my father had asked about the fate of Peric Kilhaven in front of my mother, could I share such a thing? I'd done everything to avoid it. They live on in the Sea of Souls. I didn't say that they were beyond the reach of the Emperor. I'm sorry.
For what?
Said Lady Kilhaven.
You did your duty and Cinder did his. That he or I suffer is part of a lesser evil.
She was a noble through and through. I'm sorry that I never got to have this conversation with my family before I departed. I dare say my mother lacks the mettle of an Inquisitor's wife. Completely ignoring the sentiment, Lord Kilhaven responded,
What is your name?
Peric Silver.
Good. Names are important. Now Exhibit D, courtesy of Captain Marcus Thorin of Shadow Legion and Inquisitor Teodoro Locke.
A far more grainy video, jumpy, with its audio track filtered to a more reasonable level. A battle scene. A monster of epic proportions ruled the roost of a giant temple hall. The golden face of the Emperor flashed into view at the far end. Utter chaos. A squad of Adeptus Astartes cursed and fired. The giant warriors made little headway as the warp monster fought back. It was three times their height, half man, half fire salamander. An Ordo Malleus Banisher was taken out by 1,000 pounds of Adeptus Astartes as the legionary was thrown across the hall. Power swords came out as bolters emptied or overheated. Fire exploded on the demon's back, and an overly stylish black leather coat dodged among the melee, attacking and distracting the beast in every way possible. The demon's ungodly roar lashed out, splitting the scene like an earthquake, stunning everyone, pushing giants to their knees. The captured image blurred, and the golden windows of the temple blew outward, ruining the Emperor's ringside view. In a final staggering exchange, the black-jacketed stranger plunged a dagger of gray energy into the demon's leg, an instant before its monstrous claw slammed down on the man's body. The effect was immediate on both combatants. A hazy ball of energy, a silver ghost, leaped from the inert form of the young man and floated to the temple's ceiling, while a gray spell began rolling up the monster's leg, eating away at its auric shield. As the beast's shield dissolved, the Astartes' firepower began having an effect. The chatter on the Astartes comms channel added an epilogue to the story.
Hawn is down. The demon is down. Its paw is lifting. The banisher is clear. Bring in the Medicaid transport for the rest. Check that crazy Feather. No way he's coming back from that. Clear comms. Captain Thorne and Inquisitor Locke are inbound.
Lord Killhaven ended it there.
This video is considered classified by the Inquisition and entered into the record as part of the aforementioned agreement. It explains Locke's interest in you, and is the reason the Imperial Guard required Inquisitor Locke to leave the Segmentum Solar after the agreement was sealed. His interest in your services was extreme.
I didn't understand any of that. Why would Locke want a psyker with the mark of Hawn?
Once eradicated, it would make you immune to Hawn and stronger against those of his ilk. I laud Locke for his determination, if not the brazen risk he took.
I nodded, trying to ignore the tears on Lady Killhaven's face. It's not every day that you find yourself sitting across from someone that was once paced beneath a demon's foot. Lord Killhaven continued.
Parrick, that battle saved your Hive City. 100 million souls would have perished if the demon horn had survived its birth. You were a hero, yet you ended up here gunned down by my commissar, terminated by my daughter and slapped by my wife.
It wasn't supposed to be this way. I shrugged, not knowing what to say.
Exhibit E. This has been added to your file. It will be delivered to the office of the Adeptus Arbitus on Fulcrum 4.
An image of a death certificate with my face on it appeared. Across the document, the word rescinded was etched in red, along with the seal of the Inquisition. Lord Killhaven had performed a miracle.
As part of the summit agreement, Parrick Killhaven has been restored in body as well as mind. He's been given back his name and noble standing in House Killhaven. The name Silver will remain in effect as a purely precautionary measure.
And House Killhaven on Terra? I'd done plenty to terrify his noble family, but they mattered to me.
We are honored to have you with us and view you as one of our own. In 9 months, you will ship out as a sanctioned neonate apprentice to a Psyker Primaris in the Imperial Guard. The collar will come off when they decide it is prudent. The length of your training may vary, but the moment you join an active campaign, you will become a battle Psyker, a militant savant, serving among the ranks of the Imperial Guard. As a battle psyker, you will follow the commands of your psyker primaries, but you will also be under the thumb of the nearest commissar.
Lord Killhaven paused to let that sink in and gauge my reaction. I nodded, allowing him to continue.
If you survive long enough to prove yourself reliable in combat, you will earn the rank of Warrant Servant. This is where House Killhaven had its say. The Imperial Guard has consented to commission you as an officer upon reaching Warrant Servant. Until then, I would use the name Silver and every bit of your patience to navigate the front lines. A Psyker Lord is a rare entity, and we all agreed that you have the makings of one. You wouldn't still be alive otherwise. I've seen your latest evaluations from the Hereticus readers, and while stress is often assumed to be the driver of instability, that wasn't the case with you. I point back to all the exhibits presented here as evidence of your insanity, and I'm sure we could find more if we dug even deeper. Parrick Killhaven, do you accept our findings?
I couldn't argue with the path presented, forward or back. I do.
And do you accept the pending commission in the Imperial Guard?
Do I have any other choice? With Locke's ultimate departure, I knew that I didn't.
No.
Then I accept, but with two conditions of my own.
Parrick, I only speak for House Kilhaven on Terra and Schola Sykana.
Understood. First, I want every student in Sykana to have their real family name added to their file and acknowledged by their mentors. Having to bear the same loss and lacking the connections to sustain themselves, many suffered the same disease as I. Dean Kilhaven didn't hesitate.
It is a small step in the right direction. I will send an edict notifying the proctors and Uluxio Centelles of the change. And the second item?
Well, I have a list.